Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. How should you behave when you're hit by a pitch? You can charge the mound and beat up the pitcher, or you can do what A-Rod did in a game against the Toronto Blue Jays this weekend and just send one over the fence on your next at-bat. Other than that, A-Rod's behavior remains a total hot, steaming mess. Texas, Ohio, Arkansas, and other states are scrambling to find drugs to use for executions. According to Deborah Denno, a Fordham Law professor who studies methods of executions, quote, every drug they've investigated has met a dead end, end quote. This apparently free of irony. The Missouri Supreme Court decided to allow propofol, the drug that caused Michael Jackson's death, to be used in executions. Again, irony free. This week, Lindsay Lohan talked to Oprah Winfrey about her behavior, and I had dinner in Montreal with a married mother of three whom I met on Craigslist. I'm Brian Kaiser, and I'm just phoning it in today. This is How to Behave, the Strictly Platonic Show. Not to my right, but 368 miles to my south, Hannah Howard, how you doing?
Hi, Brian. I left your chair for you in your honor here empty in Brooklyn.
You did? You didn't move over into the number one seat?
I am in my trusty place even without you.
Oh, good. So in spirit, to my right. Good. So, yeah, Hannah is holding down the studio today. I am in Montreal. That's in Canada, where I came up here for an Outstanding in the Field dinner. Have you ever been to Montreal, Hannah?
I have been. I went during a college search when I was young, looking at McGill, and thought it was a really beautiful, magical, charming city. But I haven't been back since.
Yeah, it is. It's really beautiful. People are lovely. They talk funny, though. I think it's French. It's very hard to understand them.
And they have some good and funky bagels.
They have funky bagels? I haven't had those. How are their bagels funky?
If I'm correct, it's been a while, but they're small, and they're compact and dense, and they're a little bit sweet. But if we have an actual Montreal person on the line, they can clarify if I'm
We don't. We don't have anybody from Montreal today.
Oh, okay. I was mistaken.
So we have two people on the phone today. Matt Mirapol is in Chicago. How you doing, Matt?
Hi, Brian. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Matt.
And Meg is in somewhere in Vermont, I have to admit. I don't actually know the name of this city. Meg Bedard, where are you?
Hi. You want to know what
Vermont
city
are
I'm
you?
In? I'm in Huntington, Vermont.
Huntington, which is just, is that southeast of Burlington?
It is, roughly, yep.
Excellent. So, I don't know if I told you, Hannah, that I was doing this, but a couple friends of mine and I came up to Montreal, actually one friend who lives here, and then two of us drove up from New York to go to an Outstanding in the Field dinner, which is a farm dinner. It's put on a farm, usually with a local chef, although this time the chef came up from Pittsburgh to cook. And there were about 50 people all there to tour the farm and have this beautiful dinner. It was really fun.
That
and we had
awesome.
An extra ticket. And my friend Jean-Francois, who lives in Montreal, tried to find somebody he knew here to take it and couldn't. And so I posted an ad on Craigslist saying that we had an extra ticket to this dinner. And yesterday morning, I got an email from Meg, and we invited her to join us, and she drove up from Burlington to meet us total strangers, and we had a great, great dinner. So I want to talk today about meeting people on Craigslist. Have you ever done anything like that, Hannah?
I've never met anyone on Craigslist, but I hung out last weekend at a bachelorette party in Fire Island with a girl who has made lots and lots of friends on Craigslist. And in fact, her non-Craigslist friends who were in attendance at this weekend were kind of offended. They said, "Why are you always going to Craigslist for friends? Are we like not good enough for you?" And she said, "Sometimes you guys are busy. Sometimes I want to have happy hour at 5 o'clock and you guys are all overachievers and working late into the evening. And so I need to find a friend who's a actor and doesn't work at 5 o'clock or something like that."
Yeah, I think that's great. We ended up finding Meg last night, not because none of us have friends, but because, yeah, the timing just didn't work out for anybody. And obviously, we were in a strange city, so only one of us here knew people. So the first time I ever met somebody on Craigslist was about 3 years ago. I was in Chicago and had a free night and was hoping to have dinner with a friend, and I have a few friends in Chicago, and none of them were available. And so I remembered that my friend Matt, who is on the phone with us now, had told me that he, in the past, had gotten rid of extra concert tickets or, you know, invited people to join him to ballet and the opera and stuff like that on Craigslist. And so I ended up finding a lovely person to have dinner with in Chicago, and it was a really great time, and we've actually kept in touch. So, Matt, I want to hear from you how and why you started posting on Craigslist and what kind of experiences you've had meeting people.
Well, I started doing this on Craigslist because, in a way, Craigslist wasn't working for me. This was probably in 2008, and I attend a lot of cultural performances here in Chicago. I'm a subscriber to the opera, to the symphony. I go to a lot of theater. I was married at the time, and my wife had some physical ailments that prevented her from going to everything with me. And often she would announce the day of or the day before that she wasn't going to be able to sit through a performance because her back was going to hurt too much or whatever. So I would have a pair of tickets for something that I'd had forever, often really good seats, and I'd put one of them up for sale on Craigslist because it was too late for StubHub or whatever. And oftentimes the tickets wouldn't sell. And so I'd either donate it back to the organization or I'd be stuck with an extra. And I started thinking, what could I do? So I found a strictly platonic area in the personal section because I wasn't looking for a date. And I put up something that said, seeking a seatmate for such and such. And tell me a little bit about yourself and what you'd, why you want to see this particular performance. And then I generally add, you have to promise not to sing along to the opera or shoot gum loudly while you're sitting next to me. But all I'm looking for is some friendly conversation during the intermission. Because that's sort of the toughest part is those 20 minutes where you're just sitting there reading your program. It's nice to have somebody to talk to.
Sure.
So the first response I got was I needed a companion for the John Adams opera Dr. Atomic, and a woman who's a professor at the University of Chicago emailed me and said, "I've already seen it, but I'd love to go to another opera down the line." So eventually, when I would have a spare opera ticket, I would invite her, and she would join me for a number of performances. We became friendly. But the first real outing was a few months after that, in November 2008. The Museum of Contemporary Art was presenting the Elevator Repair Service's 6-hour staged reading of the great Gatsby called Gats. It takes a special kind of person to want to do that.
Yeah, I hear great things, but it is 6 hours long, right?
6 hours plus an intermission. Yeah, it's 6 hours of performance time. And I got an email from a young woman named Friday who said it sounded interesting and she'd like to join me, and she showed up and sat through the first 3 hours with me, and we went to dinner at intermission. It turned out that she had worked for an organization in San Francisco that I had written about during my journalism days, and that we knew some people in common, and we've been good friends ever since. Those two kinds of successes haven't always been the case. I've also, during the years that I was doing it, had a number of replies from people who'd say, I'd love to go to the symphony because I've never been to the symphony before. Or people would tell me that they'd been to the symphony or the opera or whatever, and they sounded like they knew what they were doing, but the lights would come up at intermission, and I'd say, so what did you think? And the person would say, I don't know, what did you think? And I went, oh, this is going to be a rough haul.
It sounds like you've had enough successes that this is certainly, a few misses is not that big a deal, right?
Exactly. Now, I haven't done it for a couple of years. I have enough sort of cultural companions now, including my friend Friday, who I met this way, that I don't need to reach out as often. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've made a lasting friend out of this. And additionally, I should add, I did sell tickets to a restaurant called Next Here that sells tickets rather than reservations, and I stayed in touch with the person I sold those dinner tickets to, and we've since become really good friends. You met Rob and Becky at a dinner here a few weeks ago, so I met them through Craigslist, although not through the strictly platonic area. But yeah,
where did you list that when you were selling tickets to dinner?
In the tickets area.
Oh, there's a tickets area.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wish I'd known that. Well, those are great stories. And as I was saying, I was inspired by you having met a couple of people that you had met that way.
People who hear these stories are sort of enthralled by it, and I've had requests for sort of a sample version of my ad for folks to use in other cities. So my sense is it's spreading.
Yeah. So I posted an ad, which I will read briefly, and then I want to hear your feedback on how I did here. So I put under, I think, community activities, and also under Strictly Platonic, I placed this ad. I said, my friends and I have one extra ticket for the Outstanding in the Field Farm Dinner at La Farm de Zephyr at the Cleveland Morgan Estate in Centerville, Quebec, just outside of Montreal. And then I listed the website so they could see the details of the dinner. The original price was $180, but we don't need you to pay the full price. We just don't want the seat to go to waste. So tell us a little about yourself, how much, if anything, you can pay. I'm a restaurateur in New York City, driving up from New York with a friend to join her boyfriend who lives in Montreal for the event. We're all in our mid to late 40s, professionals, food lovers, and lovers of wine, culture, and conversation, just looking for someone who thinks dinner on a farm with 100 strangers sounds like a good time.
that's great for us.
So, Meg, tell me what you thought when you read that ad.
I thought it sounded like a great time. I have had a few dinners on farms, though none quite like that one, which is with a bunch of strangers. And I like, breathing easy outside. I love good food, and I love meeting people that I wouldn't maybe otherwise have the opportunity to meet. I live in a very, very small town of about 1,400 people. So the opportunity to get outside of the bubble is always pretty exciting for me.
Yeah. And tell me, you are you're having trouble sleeping, so you're up early in the morning just scrolling through Craigslist looking for interesting things?
Very early. I wake up early, and sometimes I don't want to get out of bed. And we're also in the process of looking for a puppy for my daughter, and so I was looking through the pets ads, and we also, I don't know if anybody uses it in New York City, but in my area there's also a web community called Front Porch Forum, and I'm also on a website called couchsurfing.com, which kind of all lend themselves to communicating with people that you might not otherwise run into or pick up the phone and call. It's intended to, get you to reach outside of your basic network. And so I have frequently looked at the platonic ads, wondering what kind of new friends I might find, but this is the first time I've ever responded. But the dinner on the farm thing really kind of caught my eye, and I thought, well, you know, it can't hurt to spend 5 minutes writing an email and seeing what comes of it. It might be something really cool.
Yeah, all right. Well, we will get to your email, but first we have to take a short break. When we come back, Buxom Blonde seeks dinner date, must be able to pay for dinner and my rent. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.
You're listening to Snickers by Obesity on the heritageradionetwork.org. Stay tuned and learn how to behave.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. In our industrial world, most wines have become brands, but the wines I love are so much more. Fine wine is a civilizing substance that connects us to nature. It cannot be stamped out in the factory. If you're listening to this great show, you probably eat different. I urge you to drink different too. Go deeper. Cane5.com.
We are back. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. We are talking about the great opportunities that are available to meet new people and expand your social circle on Craigslist and other social networking websites. So, Meg, I'm going to read your response to my ad, and we can talk about how great it was and why. So it says, hi there. I've read your ad on Craigslist about the dinner on a farm on Sunday, and I think it sounds like a great time meeting new people and enjoying what the area offers. About me, 40-year-old married, educated, professional woman who grew up in the Los Angeles area and has lived in Vermont for 5 years. Good music, good food, and good friends are some of the most enjoyable things in my life. I lean pretty left on most political issues. I studied literature, linguistics, and education in college, was a teacher for nearly 10 years, and now work in IT. I've only been to New York City once in my life. Are you on Facebook? I'll be honest, I just moved and my budget is tight, so I really couldn't afford to pay much for the ticket, and I'm not sure what you're looking for. Therefore, I understand if this goes absolutely nowhere. That being said, I'm always drawn to meeting new people in interesting ways and making friends all over. I'm thinking about a long hike in the morning, so let me know. I'll need to time things right to do both. Thanks, Meg. So,
I would have invited whoever sent me a message like that.
I'm curious if you got some other contenders, Brian, that were also friendly and intriguing.
Well, there were, I think we got something like 6 responses from people that were clearly real human beings and probably 4 or 5 from what were obviously trolling bots. And one of the real people said, this sounds like a great dinner. I wish I were available. I thought that was interesting. Just letting me know, like I cared. And one said, if the ticket's still available, let me know, and I will write back with more information about why I'm interested. And so I said, yes, it's still available, and that person never wrote back. And then one person included a suggestive photograph and kind of implied that she was willing to pay for the dinner in ways that wouldn't include cash.
Okay.
And Meg's was really the most thoughtful and complete and made it, like, she answered a lot of questions I would have had without us having to ask them, and it made her sound like she was an interesting person who would be fun to have there. And I don't think, there was one that was a close second, but not really that close, actually. So I thought this was a great response, Meg.
Thank you, and hearing all of that is very good for my ego.
No good. And Matt, how does this stack up to what you often get?
Yeah, I think the dynamic worked really well both ways. As the person who's posting the Craigslist ad, you want to communicate that this is not a sexual overture, this is a public event, that you're an interesting person, there's nothing more beyond it, and that you're looking just for a friendly, interesting person, but not saying so much about where you're coming from that you're going to guide responses. But you're letting people know that you're open to new experiences. And the reply that Meg sent was perfect in that she let you know who she was without going into way too much detail. Or, as was often the case with sort of the non-starter responses I got, the sort of, I like music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, when I ask you to tell me why you're interested in seeing a performance, that's not enough to get me to invite you.
Have you ever had situations where you got responses and just decided not to respond to any of them? Like, I'd rather go alone.
Yes, absolutely, Brian. Yeah, there would be instances where I would get three or four terse replies saying, sounds like fun. Yeah. Yes, it will be fun, but I need more than that.
Yes, it will be, I promise you, and you won't be there. I was really impressed with Meg's response for a lot of the same reasons. Like, I liked that she included the fact that she's married and has kids, not in an overbearing way, but just in a, like, just like laying the groundwork, just so you know, this isn't a date. Even, you know, you never know, even though we said in our ad that this isn't a date, it was obviously two men and one woman looking for a fourth. So I think it was great that without any conflict, you made it clear, Meg, that you really meant platonic. Because I think there's a lot of stuff that's listed under strictly platonic that probably isn't actually strictly platonic. Is that your experience?
Yes, I agree with that. Excuse me. And that's why I got the impression from your ad that it was truly platonic and just an event, and that was important to me to just kind of reiterate to make clear. Because let's face it, you don't really know what you're getting into, so you do your best to cover the bases, and then you jump in.
I
think it was great that you expressed enough about yourself that we could say, yeah, we think she sounds like somebody that we'd have stuff in common with.
One of the things I like about this kind of arrangement is it reminds me of the early days of the World Wide Web when the way the media would cover it would be, oh, my God, people are selling illegal guns on the Internet, or, oh, my God, there's all sorts of vice trafficking going on in some way. And that may be so, but it also overlooked the fact that there's a lot of nice people out there on the Internet, and the web enables connections between nice people in sometimes unconventional ways. And this is proof that connections that might not otherwise be made have occurred just through a few lines of text being put up on Craigslist.
Yeah. So, Meg, I want you to tell everybody what your friends and family's response was when you told them you were considering driving into the wilderness to meet strangers in a foreign country at night.
It was rather funny, entertaining, actually. They just blatantly told me I was crazy, which I partially know, but in good ways, I think. I'm just I don't want my life to be guided by fear, and so I try to use my best judgment and have the most full life that I can. But I was out with my husband and a couple of friends when I got the email back from you saying that I was actually invited, and so I had to say, okay, this is what I'd like to do tomorrow. And so for my husband, it was kind of like, is this okay with you? And with my friends, it was kind of like, what do you guys think of all this? Let's just, get it out and talk about it. And they, first of all, were so shocked that I had done this, that I had responded to a complete stranger and was ready to just up and drive 2.5 hours to potentially put myself at risk, I think was their perspective. And
it is easy to understand how some people might think that sounds crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I could understand that it did sound crazy. And my whole point was, you know, I don't want to convince you all that it doesn't seem crazy. I just want to convince you all that it does, in fact, seem like fun and might potentially be, you know, worth the risk. And in the end, the hope was that you go and you find out that there's not really actually a risk, and then it's all upside, you know. But my girlfriend that I was with, she said, well, if it were me, I would take somebody with you and with me. And she said, why don't I go with you? And I said, well, you know, there's only one ticket to this dinner, and I'm going to meet some strangers. I don't want to start inviting other people. She said, no. I can find something else to do while you go do the dinner, but at least you have someone with you. And I said to her, well, so does that mean that you're safer wandering the streets of Montreal alone while I go to dinner with a stranger? I didn't see the connection, but I think there is this just fear of the internet.
And I, you know, we joke about you driving into the wilderness at night, but as we talked about last night, you could confirm online that Outstanding in the Field is an organization that actually exists, and this event was real. We were meeting in a public place during the day. If you'd pulled up to the address and there'd been nobody else there, you probably would have driven away, but you pulled up and there were 50 other people milling about. So there are lots of reasons for you to not be worried. So, and lots of reasons to know that you can pull out if you're concerned, right?
If Brian was a creepster, the other 99 people could come to your rescue.
Oh, or that, and I mean, let's face it, I'm a grown-up woman, and if I got there and Brian was creepy or rude or, you know, anything strikingly different from what I had perceived, I would have, you know, probably graciously thanked him and exited to my car. I had my own vehicle. I wasn't really that worried about my personal safety, like physical well-being. I thought if nothing else, you know, maybe the worst that could happen is that we don't really get along very well, which is why I inserted some of the comments that I did into my reply, but I also didn't want to, you know, write a autobiography, so I thought, you know, I'll try to see if...
I thought it was just enough.
They want to spend an evening talking to me.
So, Hannah, you're a generation younger than all the rest of us. What are your friends? You mentioned the one friend who's met friends this way. Is this something that is common? Is this something that, like computer dating that your generation thinks is totally normal and ours thinks is weird, or what's going on?
Yeah, I think my generation would be, I mean, my generation is sort of like, and by that I mean the tiny circle that I hang out with. I think Craigslist is one of the first places to go for any kind of unusual thing, whether it to be in search of a strange piece of furniture or a pet or a ticket, or it just seems like the go-to outlet for those kinds of things. Definitely.
Yeah, and do you use it for stuff like that? Do you get furniture there?
I haven't. I don't know why. I guess...
Have you heard of Couchsurf.org that Meg mentioned, where people provide free places to stay to total strangers?
I have, and I've had friends who have had couch surfers stay with them from all over the world and likewise gone all throughout the world couch surfing and had really good experiences and met really awesome people. But maybe, you know, I'm a little bit wussier than the typical person that I hang out with, because I myself haven't done so.
Well, hopefully Meg has inspired you to say yes to the world more often.
She has. I need a little to channel my inner Meg a little bit.
Yeah, I think the couch surf idea that Meg told me about last night, I think is really great in the way that Matt was just talking about opportunities to meet really nice people through this technology that is the internet that you wouldn't have a chance to meet otherwise. Now you can just find some stranger in Stockholm who says, yeah, you can stay on our couch, and then you meet them and you're going to become friends with a lot of them. I think that's great.
And lest we overgeneralize about generations, I have a 80-year-old great aunt who loves playing on like those games on Facebook, like the farm animal games and poker and all kinds of games, and ended up meeting like her boyfriend on Facebook, who lives across the country playing one of these games, and now they travel, now they're like groupies of Pink Floyd concerts and travel around the country together, couch surfing. So there you go.
Oh my God, how old is she?
This is a true story. She's around 80.
Okay, we need to have her on a show. We need to do a show just about her.
Definitely.
Can you get her on?
Sure.
Okay, that's great. Well, that's a good thing to end on, and that's unfortunately all the time we have today. But a big thanks to all of my guests, Meg Bedard, my new friend who I met yesterday. Thank you so much. And Matt Mirapol, who is, some of you may remember, was our first ever caller in on How to Behave. Thanks to the woman who answered my Craigslist post, single white male, 40, beard, seeks tall, sexy female, Ivy League grad to co-host radio show,
aww,
Anna Howard. The How to Behave theme is courtesy of John Lundbaum and Big Five Chord. Check them out at bigfivechord.com. Thanks to Joe Galarraga for engineering today's show. You can always find episodes of How to Behave and lots of other great shows at heritageradionetwork.org. I'm Brian Kaiser, phoning it in today, and please remember, casual encounters means more than just no jacket required. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.